I love a good acai bowl. I don't know whether you're into acai bowls, but as the warmer weather starts to roll around, so does my appetite for the cold, refreshing, sweet fruitiness with a drizzle of peanut butter on top. And if you are into acai bowls, you'd know that peanut butter on top is the winner. In fact, there aren't too many downsides, in my opinion, to an acai bowl. Admittedly, they can be hit and miss depending on where you get your acai bowl from. But other than that, the one gripe that I always have when I finish an acai bowl is I'm still hungry. Kids, who's ever said that before? I'm still hungry. I mean, like clockwork at our house, it's usually Banjo. After dinner, we'll have smashed all of his food and still says, "Dad, I'm still hungry." You see, that's the thing about hunger. It comes back. And sometimes only minutes or moments after you finish eating. But it would be fair to say that not a day passes where we feel hunger and we need to be satisfied or something to satisfy it again. And actually, this is true for more than just food. There are all sorts of things that we hunger for. We hunger for connection. We hunger to be noticed. We hunger to feel secure. We hunger for success. We hunger for experiences. We hunger for life to work. And so much of life becomes about trying to satisfy the hungers that we have. We seek out things and we seek out experiences and we seek out opportunities that try and satisfy all of the various hungers that we have. We tell ourselves things like, if I can just get this thing, like if I can get the promotion or if I can get this amount in my bank, then I will be satisfied. Or if God would just open that door, or if God would make that problem go away, then I'll be good. Or if this situation would just change, then I won't want for anything else in the world. Or we compare ourselves and we say, if I could have what they have or do what they do, then I will be satisfied. But here's the problem with both food and every other thing that we hunger for in life, is you will always get hungry again. And this is the tension at the heart of the story that we're going to read tonight. And in this passage, we're going to see a group of people who were hungry, who then ate and ate plentiful amounts of food. We're going to see that they were satisfied, but then we're going to see that they got hungry again. And in this, we're going to see how Jesus used this dynamic, this very human experience of hunger, to point to a higher truth about who he is as the greatest provision we will ever need. So if you've got your Bible, you can open to John 6. This is the feeding of the 5,000. Maddie's pumped. Welcome to church, Maddie. Good to have you with us. On you, Maddie. Maddie came to Christian Surfers Camp last week as well. She's never surfed before. Surfed for the very first time at Christian Surfers Camp. And I loved your words the other day. It was, if she can skate. She said, I can skate, surely I can surf. It's true. Righto, Jesus feeds the 5,000. I'm going to read it if you want to follow along, otherwise just listen. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with the disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand, which is kind of an important context that this thing is about to happen in. But Jesus, as he's sitting there with his disciples, this is verse 5, he lifted up his eyes, then seeing a large crowd was coming toward him. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat. And he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, Jesus, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to even get a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? And Jesus said to them, well, have everyone sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. I mean, this is wild. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 loaves of bread left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. And perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. He exited stage left. Now, I don't want these people to crown me king, knowing full well that he was. He went, nah, I'm out of here. And then there's a very brief story, which is a story for another time. The disciples then, they wanted to head back to Capernaum. They went and got on their boat. They started heading for home. Big storm came. They got scared. Jesus walks on the water, comes and says to them, don't be afraid. And then they all teleport together to Capernaum where they landed. And verse 22, we pick up the story. On the next day, the crowd that had remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, how's this? They themselves, now I'm guessing that it's the whole 5,000 of them, or maybe at least a huge number. When they saw that they weren't there, they got themselves into boats and they chased after Jesus and they went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. But the question is, were they? The Bible tells us they were seeking Jesus, but the annotation that I've got, the question I've got, was, were they seeking Jesus? We're going to find the answer out in a sec. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? I mean, they were confused. They didn't see Jesus get in the boat, but Jesus got there. He knew that he walked on the sea. They didn't know that. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. This is quite a moment. Jesus just dissected their hearts and their minds, and the contents of their heart and their mind spilled out all over the ground for everybody to see. They weren't seeking Jesus. They were seeking what Jesus could do for them. He revealed in this moment where their true hunger lay. As it turns out, their hunger wasn't for him at all. Their hunger was for the benefits that they could gain from being near him. When Jesus was revealing their true motivations, this crowd were motivated to look for Jesus, to be near Jesus, to say they knew Jesus. On one hand, people were thinking this is revival. 5,000 people seeking Jesus. But do you know what they were doing? All they were seeking was what they could get from Jesus. You know, it's quite tempting to live a life that has the appearance of seeking Jesus. Going to small group, reading your Bible, going to church, telling people about Jesus, sharing your faith, when really at the heart of it, do we just seek Him for what He can give us? You know, we can so easily ride the thrill of yesterday's provision that we start worshiping what was provided rather than the one who provided it. He was saying to the crowd, guys, you are looking for me, but you're not really looking for me. You're looking for more bread. You're looking for what happened yesterday. You liked the experience of what I gave you. Now you want another miraculous snack from the vending machine of heaven. You know, their faith became about pushing the button and hoping that they would get what they wanted. Their faith was built on the miracles and not on the man. They were enamored by the power at the expense of seeing the person. See, this crowd, they saw the miracle, but they missed the sign it was pointing to. They received the provision, but they missed the provider. They loved the gift, but they were in great danger of missing the giver. And I wonder how easily you and I can do the same. It is very possible to come looking for Jesus because of what we hope that Jesus will give us. We can seek Jesus, but so that He might fix this situation. We can seek Jesus, but because we want Him to provide more money or more resources. We can seek Jesus because we want to see His power to heal, or to open a door, or to make something easier, or to make me feel better. And friend, those aren't necessarily bad prayers. I mean, after all, Jesus cared that these people were hungry. He met their immediate and their real and their felt need for food, and He fed them. The bread wasn't bad, the provision wasn't bad, the gift wasn't bad. The problem that this whole crowd had was that they were mistaking the gift for the giver. And if we think about this in our own lives, I wonder if we come seeking Jesus because we too want another snack from the Jesus vending machine. I wonder if our faith can become about pushing that button and hoping that we will get out of it what we want. I mean, I must ask myself, am I putting my hope and trust in the miracles and the provision of God? Or am I putting my hope and my trust in the provider Himself? Jesus, He goes on to tell the people in verse 27. He says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him, God the Father has set His seal." Then they said to Him, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." So they said to Him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" I mean, how short-sighted was this crowd? The day before, they watched 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish feed 5,000 people, and they have the hide to say, "What are you going to do to show us that you are God? What are the things that you do?" Our fathers, they ate the manna in the wilderness. It's like they were making this comparison between their ancestors who were walking in the wilderness and saying, "Well, God did that for them back then. What are you going to do?" And he's scratching his head going, "You imbeciles, can you not just see what happened yesterday?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And Jesus, he goes on and continues to say, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. You see, the crowd, they didn't quite get it. They started rambling about Moses, the ancestors had manna, bread from heaven, yada, yada, yada. What are you going to do, Jesus? And he corrects them. It is not Moses who gave you that bread, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. And then he says, for the bread of God is the bread that came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they say, well, give us this bread. You know, they're still thinking in terms of the provision and not the provider. But Jesus essentially responds to them, you're still not getting it. You are after the bread. I am the bread of life. You want bread? I am the bread. You want provision? I am the provision. You want the bread that came down from heaven? You're looking at him. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And when we look at this story in its context, the whole thing becomes much bigger. See, Jesus shows his miraculous provision of feeding 5,000 of them when? We mentioned it earlier, during the Passover celebration. You know, at Passover, God provided a lamb. In the wilderness, God provided bread. When his people were thirsty in the desert, God provided water. And now Jesus stands among them and says, it's me. I am the lamb, I am the bread, and I am the water. See, the bread in the wilderness in Exodus was pointing somewhere. The water in the wilderness was pointing somewhere. The Passover back in the Exodus was pointing somewhere. All of those things were signs. Just like feeding 5,000 people with two loaves and five fish, this was a sign pointing not towards somewhere, but to someone. God's ultimate provision, the bread of life, Jesus. The ultimate provision of God is God himself. That is what the feeding of the 5,000 is all about. I mean, there's other beautiful little nuanced stories in there about bringing to God the little we have and he does amazing things with it. Yes, that's true, but friends, the overarching narrative and story and purpose of the feeding of the 5,000 is to say, don't set your eyes on the provision of God, but look to the one who is the provider, Jesus himself, given to us the bread of life. You know, sometimes I wonder how this dynamic plays out in all of the contexts of life, but you know, being in church community, hey, let's talk about that. You know, do we engage in church community because of what we get from it rather than to be with the one who infuses it? You know, our decision around church and how we express faith can all be about the bread from time to time. We want good music. We want worship that moves us. We want engaging preaching. We want our kids to have a good time. We want our teenagers to come back. We want meaningful conversations. We want community. We want encouragement. We want someone to notice us. We want to leave feeling better than when we arrived. And again, none of those things are bad. Community is a gift. Worship is a gift. Preaching is a gift. Friendship is a gift. Encouragement is a gift. Belonging is a gift, but they're bread. They're not Jesus. Let's not confuse the gift with the giver. See, what Jesus had against the crowd was that they had the appearance of seeking him, but what they were after was only what he could give them. And I think Jesus invites us to a better question than, what can we get from him? I think the better question is, am I here for him? Am I here for him? There's a difference between coming to church looking for what Jesus can give me and becoming because we want Jesus. Because we want to know Him. We want to worship Him. Not for what we can get in our times of worship, but so we could know Him in worship. Do we want to hear His voice? Is that the posture of us being here? Do we want to become more like Him? Want to enjoy His presence? Want our lives to be surrendered to Him? You know, we must choose. Will we chase the sign or will we chase the sender? Will we pursue the provision or will we pursue the provider? Every good gift of God is ultimately intended to draw us deeper into a relationship with Him. It's just on us not to confuse what He gives us with who He is as the one who gives. And so maybe that's the invitation of John 6. And the invitation for us tonight is to enjoy the bread, yes. To receive God's provision, yes. To celebrate His gifts and what He offers us, yes. To enjoy community and being around the table together, yes. To sing songs, yes. Listen and engage with His word, yes. To receive encouragement from one another, to enjoy friendship and ask God for what you need. But my friends, the invitation does not stop there. The invitation is to not mistake the sign for the sender, not mistake the provision for the provider, not to mistake the gift for the giver. Because the greatest gift that God has given is Himself. See, the crowd came back looking for another loaf of bread, and Jesus stood before them and said, "I am the bread of life." And perhaps the question for us tonight is, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Are you hungry for the things that will fade away? Are you hungry for the things that will spoil? Are you hungry just for what Jesus can give you? Or are you hungry for Jesus? I mean, this is the difference between living a faith that's transactional and coming to God for a transaction. I will give you my time at church if you give me an answer to my prayer. I will give this or give that, or I will do this or do that if you will do this. And see, entering into a bargaining relationship with the Lord never works. It's only shallow and gets us nowhere. He is far more interested in a transformational relationship where we come to Him rather than come to Him for what He gives us. And so, friend, I'm going to close with this. Be it far from us that we, like the crowd, have the appearance of seeking Jesus when really we're just seeking what we can get from Him. You know, this world is, especially in church world, they're so quick to label things revival just because there's a big crowd looking for Jesus. But I don't think big crowds looking for Jesus impresses Him necessarily all that much, especially when their hearts aren't looking for Him but what He can give. And sometimes I worry whether the church at large has kind of got the cart before the horse. We worship the experience of church. We worship the experience of worship. We worship the experience of community and having a place to belong. And sometimes we can even elevate the Bible above God and we can worship a text, not the one who wrote it. Friend, it is on us to make the choice. Are we going to worship the gift that God gives us, or are we going to worship the giver, the one who gives it? Because truth is, He sees right through it. But beautifully, and like He does with the crowd, He doesn't berate or belittle them. He simply says, "I am what you are looking for. I am the question and I am the answer. I am the provision and I am the provider. I am the giver. But more than that, I am the gift given for you." Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would realign our hearts. that you would realign our vision. Father, not to be focused on what we can get from you, but focus our eyes on you, our daily bread. Focus on you, Lord, who gives us everything that we need. But Lord, I pray that our eyes would look beyond those things to see you, a good and gracious God who sees us. And Father, I am so thankful for the testimony that we have heard earlier tonight, for how you have blessed people in this church community with things right on time or just on time, that you have been at work in hearts and minds, providing joy, providing so much. And God, we give you thanks for those things, for they are bread, the provision of God in our lives, and let's be thankful for that. But Jesus, moreover, let's be thankful tonight for who you are. May that be the inclination of our heart, to be grateful for you, Jesus. You are the bread that was broken for us, that we may have true life and full life. So may our vision be set on you, and not just on what you give us. Help us not to be people who are just seen to be seeking you for what we get, but seeking you because you are the giver of all things. So Lord, fix our eyes and fix our hearts on you and you alone, in Jesus' name. Amen.